It's time to spark it up with the Kennel Linguists.
I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after you go to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store. Check cashing, please. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the vagina. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Wisconsin, Georgia, and Ohio have all put pot on the table as a possible voting thing in their next major elections, as well as a long conversation on alchemy. That conversation will be happening with the Cannel Linguist's own medicine man, who's in town to hang out and chat some alchemy with us. I am Alex Mandelberg, your one host, is with me as always, the other host, the awesome April O'Connor. How you doing? Pew, pew. Yeah. Very exciting. And we have our very own medicine man in here today who's been sharing some stuff with us beforehand. So we're all actually in a very celebratory party mood right now.
Yeah.
April's got a shit-eating grin on her face.
Feeling
that you can't
magical.
Couldn't wipe that off with a towel. How you doing today, sir?
I'm hanging in, brother.
That's what I like to hear, hanging in. So Wisconsin, Georgia, and Ohio all putting marijuana on the table for their next election cycle. Really interesting, if for no other reason, as I've talked about before on this show, I've said if we're going to have a real federal nationwide talk about marijuana, it's going to take these Southern Bible Belt and flyover states making some positive movement on marijuana, because we all know that the coasts smoke and the coasts have been very pro marijuana for a long time. But I think a lot of people on the coast like to neglect that most of the country lies in the middle. And these people who live in these Wisconsin, these Kentuckys, these Ohios, these North Dakota, South Dakota, that's what most of the country is. It's empty farmland.
Wisconsin's working on decriminalization. That's their first step. Then you've got Ohio, they're going back and forth. And then Georgia has been talking about full-on recreational for a while. And they're listening to ideas, but it's not necessarily on the table. But they're
not exactly on the table, but it's kind
but
of
they're talking
on the table.
About it, and they're keep, you know, putting it out there.
I never, that's that whole thing where it's, you know, people will be like, oh, yeah, we want to have this conversation in our state, but we're really afraid that, you know, the state can't handle it right now. And you know, it's such a cop out. I don't buy this. I feel like people so often, you know, want to just stick with, oh, the masses are stupid. Well, the masses can be stupid, but individuals are smart. And when you are able to connect with people individual to individual, which, you know, government has a very hard time doing because there's a lot of individuals. But when you get down to that one-on-one contact, I feel like you can educate every American. You can get everybody smarter. You give everybody. If Wisconsin, Georgia, and Ohio are all even willing to have a pot discussion, we've come a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, could you remember a time when you would think a Bible Belt state would say yes to marijuana at all?
Or any state?
Yes. It's medicine.
Yeah, well, it is,
and it's going to change. It's the only thing that'll bring peace back to this earth. It's a sacred medicine.
Amen.
And now, more people and countries like Jamaica is freed up.
Yeah,
finally,
and Uruguay. We found out as well. Yeah, that's another
exactly.
one.
Exactly. There's many of them. And they're all going down. It's like the women came out of the closet to vote. The black people came out. The gays came out. And we are the ones that have to bring the medicine out. And we started in California in 96 to get it out into the open as medicine.
Yeah.
And we've been taking each state, and there's these people out there with big bucks that want it legal. And the reason Colorado, they took over instead of California, is because it's in the center of the United States, a perfect place for distribution. The next thing is they can control it because it's in a greenhouse or a warehouse. Mm-hmm. They couldn't do it in California because you can grow everywhere.
Yeah, you can grow. If there's dirt in California, you can grow pot in it. Yeah. Unfortunately, most people don't realize that. They're going, well, a lot of stuff grows in Colorado. Well, Colorado is mountains, though. It's very hard to get marijuana to grow on rock. What grows in Colorado are trees and moss that has been there for tens of thousands of years and will be there tens and thousands of years after all of us are dead and gone. There is a big difference. It's Colorado's not an easy place to grow things if you're doing it outdoors. Everything that you grow there is greenhouse, indoor, warehouse. All indoor. No outdoor grown in Colorado, so far as I know.
I tried.
You tried?
Yes. It didn't work.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, easily put, it didn't work.
20 years ago, right? And you're trying to get production. And you're trying to have a product to keep in the market. And you can't just do it out in the wild or even in your backyard in Colorado.
No, not even in your backyard, you couldn't even get it to go.
You can get an ounce or two for yourself.
But nothing really worthwhile of growing.
No.
Wow.
No.
Colorado's a rough... I do wonder how I feel about the whole, you know, medical versus full recreational, because we've seen a lot of ways that it's gone right and a lot of ways that it's gone wrong in all the states that have done it. And listen, California's broke, and we could certainly use a lot more tax revenue. And hearing stories about Colorado where they had tax surpluses due to marijuana, that now they're amending it so they can be funneling more money into their schools through all of that. That's all stuff that I go, well, I'd love that for my state. I really would. But, you know, you hear the stories about more deaths, you know, due to driving accidents. I don't know how much I believe that one. Like I said, we talked about that last week. I think a lot of that is not so much propaganda. I think that it's the whole thing where people go, oh, more people are dying of cancer today than have ever died of cancer. Well, we're better at finding cancer today than we ever were at finding cancer. So is there more cancer, or are we just better at identifying cancer? I'm sure it's probably a little column A, little column B. It's probably a bit of both. But I think anybody who blames it all one, all the other, that's where I go, I don't know about that. I could see where it could be either one or what is most likely both.
More people.
You think it's just more people have got it? Yeah. I don't know, man.
Cancer's been around for many years. It was a guy... Royal Randolph Rife, who had a machine right down here in L.A. They were curing cancer with a Rife machine. It's a frequency generator. If people want to go and look back in the 30s, 40s, they took the guy out. The Rife machines are still around. I work with one. I use one. I take care of my Lyme's disease with it.
Is that like the zapper, the Clark zapper?
No, everything resonates. It has a frequency. It's like an opera singer. If she hits a certain note, she can bust a glass. Mm-hmm. It's proven. So they've taken things and put it in Petri dishes, and then they'll hit these frequencies, and they'll see through a microscope that this man made, and it'd blow it apart. So everything vibrates. Everything is alive. The table, the chairs, everything. You can destroy it with a certain frequency. They work with sound frequencies for crowd control.
Wow. I do remember, because that was Did you ever see a show on Discovery Channel called MythBusters?
Yeah.
I love that show. But they did the glass breaking with the voice. They were testing that myth. They found out early on, if you use a speaker, it's very easy. You know, you just have to hit the right frequency. But after testing and testing and testing, the guy was finally able to break it with just his voice up against the glass. But what he had to do was he kept having to flick the glass and listening to what it vibrated at. So he'd flick it and hear it and then try and hit that exact pitch, because if you hit that exact pitch, that was what would make the glass start vibrating. And then he it took a long time, but he was finally able to get one glass to pop.
Ooh.
It was pretty awesome to see, to actually be like, oh, my God, like I've heard about that for a long time. But to actually see somebody break a glass with their voice doing the bing. And then
not in a movie.
Not in a movie. Like, on a show where they're specifically like, what we're doing is real. We're trying to find out the answer to these questions. That was a cool answer to find out. Was it? So I get that frequency thing. I mean,
but that's why they've took that away. They don't want to cure cancer.
Well, a lot
of wanna make money.
I hear the argument of, you know, there's definitely a lot more money in treatment than a cure. That statement has been around for a long time, and I completely believe that. But on the same page, though, you know, is this something that you would prefer to even a surgical option? I mean, you know, when people talk about being able, you know, thankfully nowadays with like kidney cancer, if it's in one kidney, they're like, well, we can just go in and remove that kidney and you're fine because it was encased in the kidney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that – I always am the person, and maybe this is, you know, the young idiot in me, I really trust doctors blindly. If a doctor tells me something, I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Whatever you think is best, because I mean, I thought that's what all that medical school is for. Now I understand that they get a lot of money from different, you know, pharmacy companies and this and that. And I get that, but at the end of the day, I always thought that the Hippocratic Oath was still, you know, worth something.
But
to
there's
them.
Also a lot of ego involved in their education, so they think that they know, even though you probably, you know, they're gonna think, oh, it must be this right off the bat, and give you, you know, a prescription for something. And
I absolutely was. I was in and out of a hospital three times because twice when I went in, the doctor's like, I'm pretty sure it's this. The test said that it wasn't, but I'm pretty sure. Like, so I get that. They are definitely cocky to a fault, because when twice I had doctors be like, the test said it wasn't this, but I know better than the test. And then they treated me and sent me on my way, and I was still ill because they were wrong. So I get that, but on the same page, eventually those doctors did find out what was wrong and helped me. So I don't know. I know. Listen, I'm the first one to admit there's a reason they call it practicing medicine and not executing medicine or professional medicine, because it's always practicing. We're always kind of, you know, getting ready for the game. I wish I had the sound drop of Allen Iverson going, "You talking about practice? Not the game. Practice. Practice? You talking about practice?" Love that video.
But that's why the medicine's illegal.
Well,
because it helps people.
That's a good point. That's definitely a good point. I get that. But now, but we are reaching a place now where it's more legal than it's ever been in this country. I mean, we're talking about gaining on, I think we're closing in on 25 states. We're almost at about 50%, I want to say.
On medical.
On that, well, on some kind of legalization, whether it be medical or recreational.
Okay.
Because whether you agree with recreational or medical, I think what we're both going to agree on is we want accessibility for people. People who want to use this, whether for recreational or medical reasons, I believe that we live in a country where they should be allowed access to it. That's my personal belief. So, you know, if we're reaching that spot, it's hard to say that, you know, yes, they might want it illegal. And I can definitely agree that for a long time, the powers that be were trying to push for it to be legal. But we're definitely reaching a point in time where it's more legal than it's ever been. So it's very cool. It's definitely got to be – I mean, when you were 20, was there any state where you can go and buy a legal bag of weed?
Bro, you could get medicine in Ann Arbor, right? Not legally, but if you got caught, it was only a $5 fine.
What? Well, $5, though, that's, you know, that's, yeah, $5. So they, goddamn, they, that's $5 fine in Ann Arbor, Michigan, huh?
Yes.
Ooh. That's like.
And that's, what am I, 50? That was 50 years ago, bro.
Well, then $5, you know, that's like a $50 fine then, kind of.
Yeah.
It's about even. It's about even then. Wow. Ann Arbor, Michigan, $5 fine.
I mean, they are totally not giving a fuck now even about.
No, Michigan, yeah, that's the whole northern border states. They've been up along Canada where Canada's been very, very they never had any legalization or medical conversation, so far as I know. I'd have to check on that. I could be completely wrong. But it's always kind of been just an open secret in Canada, I feel like, that everyone's like, yeah, smoke. Who gives a fuck? Yeah. Whatever. I don't know. I got to check on that, what the legalization is like up in Canada.
I know British Columbia has always been.
Yeah, British Columbia is coming around. I know a lot of businesses are moving up there. Now I think it's a lot more legal, but I think they have medical up in like British Columbia. But outside of that, I do not know, like Toronto and all that. Toronto being their capital. I mean, usually most capitals are a little bit more conservative like our own is. So, I mean, our own capital, its citizens asked for recreational marijuana. And the governing body over it, our Congress, said no to them. They said no to what the people of their city said they wanted, which was cannabis. And the government's like, nah, we know better. Nah, it's a bad idea. So I guess I just made your point right and my point wrong when I said all that stuff.
Tell us more about your magic.
That's got to be the mantra on this show. Is just like, let Alex talk in a circle long enough and he'll prove himself wrong and myself right.
I want you to tell us more about your little magic.
Oh, April's been excited about our conversation on alchemy coming up, hasn't she been?
I know. I'm so excited.
I know nothing about this. I know going into this that everything you were describing to me before the show, sir, I take in and I try and accept, but I always say I'm very new to this whole understanding anything outside of packable and smoke it. That's what I've known pretty much my entire smoking life, which has been a decade. This is my birthday this year. I celebrated a decade that I've been smoking. And
is it a birthday? It's a bong day.
Yeah, bong day. My bong day.
It's your bong day.
This is my 10-year bong anniversary.
That's today?
No, not today, but it was this year. Well, because it was on my birthday, which was last month, almost exactly a month ago, July 26th.
Leo.
So, yeah, Leo. Barely a Leo, but
I'm about to get my 10th rec.
About to get your 10th rec. I actually have to go in. Mine just expired yesterday. I have to go in tomorrow and get mine done. I will be going in for my third.
Yeah.
I was very scared of the recs for a long time because I was always on that don't want my name on a list, you know, kind of thing. And when I found out that when they finally made the decision that it was going to be covered under HIPAA, the Health Information Privacy Protection Act, for those who don't know what that is, when they decided that it was covered under that, I was like, okay, I can go get a rec then, because then I know that it's just between me and a doctor and no one else is allowed to know how or what I do with any medicine. Because I agree that it is medicine, which means that my access to it should be private to me and only me. That is my biggest problem with recreational, is that theoretically anybody can know who's buying it because you're allowed to keep a log of your sales.
Oh, and
For recreational, if I understand it correctly.
Depends on how they set it up in the state.
It absolutely would. But because we're talking about recreational and not medical, medical, that phrase provides us patients a lot of protection.
Oh, yeah.
No one's allowed to know what anybody – if you ask me – if I go to an amusement park, let's say, and I want to not stand in lines – I can go get a disability pass. I'm about to tell a bunch of people how to cheat at amusement parks. You can go up there and say, I would like a disability pass to go to the front of the lines.
With your medical card?
No. You don't even have to have a medical card. You can just ask them. You can say, I have a disability.
They can't ask you.
They are not allowed to ask you. Your disabilities, your medical treatments, the medicine you take, those are all things provided. Or those are all things that private. As an American are
– You're entitled to your privacy.
You're entitled to your privacy. Nobody, not your employer, not even your wife, is allowed to know these things without express written consent from you. That's the way medicine works. Now, when something is recreational, well, you can write down on a piece of paper, Alex bought a beer today. If I go into a bar and buy a beer,
yeah,
Alex bought a beer. That is now on record that I bought that beer. That is completely allowed.
It's not like they track how many beers you're buying, though. But they do track.
But why wouldn't somebody, if allowed? Why wouldn't they track who's buying marijuana? Why wouldn't they? If they're allowed to, that's the whole reason that
Why should they?
I agree with you. Why should they? That I agree with you on. But what I'm saying is, from what I've learned from watching the government as long as I have, that sounds right up the alley of something they do.
Yeah,
it really does.
Well, it's going to take time to make the change across this country, but it's going forward, and they can't stop it, bro. The medicine is in control.
I agree with that. I agree we're definitely taking steps in the right direction. I just, like I said, I really worry about I'm trying to think of the phrase, like, you know, when people get too much too fast. And you get really juggle happy with it. And I feel like that's what this recreational thing is when we're having that, we went, oh man, we've got this medical. Man, what if we didn't even have to go see the doctor once a year? We could just get weed whenever we wanted, no matter what. And I think people got really excited about it. And I think that people didn't think about what the medical world, protections that provided the patients.
Well, do you know who Nadelman is?
No, I do not.
Well, he's up there. He can raise millions of dollars, right, for, you know, like lobbying and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I read an article about him about maybe a year and a half ago. And he – hello?
Mm-hmm. Oh, your headphone cut out. It's okay. Don't worry. You're still on.
So anyways – what I understand, he's working with different people, and they're financing him, and he says they're going to take one state at a time. That's the only way we're going to get it legal in this country, and that's exactly what's happening. But now they're taking – they've got – how many states are legal? Three?
We've got Portland. We've got Oregon. We've got Washington.
Alaska.
We've got Alaska. We've got Colorado
and DC.
DC. Yeah, they finally allowed it ish because Congress is still, you know, in the way. I want to say, did Hawaii vote? I want to say Hawaii voted for recreational. I could be wrong on that. We've got it, but I think we've got four or five states.
Okay, so. We got four or five states now. How many is going into the election next year?
I will have California now. Apparently, Washington, Wisconsin, Georgia, Ohio.
They're not necessarily voting, but they're
considering voting.
For decriminalization in Wisconsin.
Yeah, but you got Arizona, Nevada. Let's see. I just read an article up in Oregon. And it was five states that are going up for legalization next year. And I think Alaska is one.
No, Alaska already voted. They said yes. They said yes in 2014.
Okay. Maybe it's Hawaii. I can't remember.
I think in the next election it's going to be Hawaii, California, and I think those three.
Nevada. Who was another
one? Nevada already voted. They already said yes.
Okay.
Nevada said yes to medical, but they made the caveat that Nevada will be one of our first states to be an amnesty state, which means if I have a medical prescription in California and I travel to Nevada, my medical prescription is still good. Valid.
Right.
I do not need a local prescription. Like every other state is. Most states require an in-state prescription only for the residents of the state. Nevada, because it's such a tourist state, decided to make that an amnesty thing. And I think that was very smart of them. I think every state right. that's medical, it's like going, if you have a recommendation from a doctor, if I got written a prescription for Vicodin in Los Angeles and I got called away on business to New York, I would be able to fill my Vicodin can someone say that word for me?
Subscription?
Yeah, there's prescription. Prescription. Jesus.
Yeah,
subscription.
I've got you the seven
prescription.
States.
Seven state. Oh, there's seven.
Yes, seven.
Massachusetts.
Right.
California.
Yeah.
Missouri. Hawaii.
Maine and Nevada. And Arizona.
Right. Arizona will absolutely vote yes because they're, you know, that's a Tea Party state. They're just that, don't tell me what I can't do, just tell me what I can do, damn it.
So if there's five more, or do you pull up seven?
There's seven. Seven more? But statistically, you would think that only five of them would pass.
Okay, five. We have three. That's eight. Right?
We have more than three.
Yeah, we have at least five legal right now.
Oh, okay.
We have at least
Washington,
five.
Colorado, Oregon, Alaska, and D.C. So it's
a... We'll call that four and a half states because D.C. doesn't really count. It sucks. Listen, any of our listeners in D.C., know that I want to give you all the respect of a state that you deserve. Know that it is Congress, not myself, that shits on you. I only talk about you like you don't matter because on the state of the Senate and the House of Representatives, you don't matter. You don't. You have elected officials that sit for you on the House of Representatives and the Senate. They don't get a vote. They don't get to vote. They can sit on committees. They can speak. And then when everyone votes, they get to sit on their hands because they're worthless. They mean nothing. So I'm sorry, D.C. I got mad love for you. Been to your place a lot of times. Love the Smithsonian. Y'all's vote doesn't count for shit, and I'm sorry. I apologize. Change that. I'm all for changing that. We've been saying that for years. D.C. deserves a voice, but they don't have one. So, yeah, long aside to get to, by the end of this election, we might have nine states.
Nine.
That have legal recreational marijuana.
Okay. We'll have nine, right? And how many medical?
Probably another 15.
Okay. We're getting close, bro.
Yeah, we're getting close to half.
New medical?
But do you think it's going to take a vote in all 50 states before we have a federal vote? Or do you think that once two-thirds of the states have spoke in some way or another, the federal government just jumps in and goes, all right, we'll have a vote then?
I think so. I think the federal government is in on it now anyways. That's why they put Colorado out there on the front lines to see and let it go. To see how they're, because the laws, we're in such gray areas. There's so many things, transportation, how much you can have, who can sell it, where the taxes are coming from. They're afraid of the black markets. There's many things that have to be decided. So they don't just want to bust it loose. They want to put it out there and see how the state. So right now, Colorado's on the front line. Like with the edibles, the people overdosing. And I was kind of sad that they kind of, we've been here with this longer than anybody with the medical marijuana. California was one.
Yeah, we were one of the first.
Yeah.
But in that way, though, we also went, I think we were 6 years in between our vote our vote to allow medical marijuana. Was in 96, but the first stores didn't open. The first collectives didn't open till 2000, 2001. Well, there was a long gap there that people had to wait, I feel like. So just figuring out a system in which people could procure it legally was such a hurdle, whether it was or wasn't really. I mean, I don't see why it was so hard. But
because of feds. And just like down here in L.A., Look at the DEA that kept coming in and busting all these clubs.
97 was the first dispensary.
Yeah. Well, I know that because I know what's it called? Perennial didn't open until 2001, and they were one of the first mm-hmm. ones in the valley. So, yeah.
Because the people were afraid of the feds.
Yeah. Hey, it's understandable. It was – we've gone a long time where – especially when Bush was – when Bush – when both Bushes, the junior and the senior, were in office, there was always that big push on the basically whatever the opposite of prison reform is. You know, I've always said they call it prison reform, but prison reform to them is people putting people in jail for longer and mandatory minimums, which are one of the worst things tearing down this fucking country. Yes. Is, you know, mandatory minimums for crimes where, you know, even in special cases where judges have admitted they've gone, I didn't want – this person didn't deserve this punishment. But because of mandatory minimums, I had to put this man in jail for 5 years when they deserved 6 months. True. And
– or any time at all.
Or any time – well, a lot of times with mandatory minimums, they deserve time. But they don't deserve that kind of time. And they deserve to be treated like people. You know, right now it's so weird to say this because in so many ways the state is the fucking worst, but Florida is actually on the front of prison reform right now, with release programs and call-in programs where they treat prisoners or they treat people like they're innocent until proven guilty. They don't rely on bail and stuff like that. They actually go, okay, you are free until your arraignment. That way you don't that way you don't miss work. Because for a lot of people who would get caught up in something like that, you miss a day of work, no call, no show. You're fired. You're out. You're done. Goodbye.
What's the deal with Colorado and the people that are in prison now?
Well,
marijuana.
They've said that they are retroactively. In a lot of states now, starting to release people. One of the bigger states, more so than Colorado, Texas is the big state that people have eyes on because you got people who are serving 5 to 10
right.
for having possession of marijuana. And they finally have had some votes. I believe Texas had a vote on CBD only. That they're allowing right. CBD only now. I could be wrong on that, but I believe I'm correct.
I read that in a magazine from Oregon about a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal that Texas would have any kind of vote. But once again, Texas is one of those types of Republican states where it's not, you know, Republican it's not Republican fuck the little man. It's Republican give me my freedom. Right. You know, you can't tell me what I can't do, Republicans, which are, like I said again, my favorite Republicans are the ones who are just like, you can't tell me what I can't do. And I'm like, all right, fine. I get that. America, free country. That's what we're built on. I can't tell you what to do.
Politics out. I want to talk about magic.
All right, go ahead. You have your magic conversation. I'm going to sit back and listen for a minute and then go ahead. We're going to have a little bit of a bump in the sound there for those of you listening because we actually have an awesome walk-in guest who's brought some fucking awesome gifts for us. Give it up for the halfway into the show. Yet another awesome resonating sound for Philly Phil. Fucking A, so excited to have good I love when guests bring presents. That is just you put a smile on my face. How you doing today, Philly?
Pleasure is mine, man. Thanks for having me.
And what's even more awesome, you are old friends with our medicine man here. And apparently you're a bit of an expert on the topic we're going to be spending the next 20 minutes talking on, which is alchemy.
How exciting. Look at you.
Oh, my goodness.
Just dropping all kinds alchemy of heat over here.
How cool is that?
Oh, gosh. What's just gotten laid out in front of you? Because I know nothing. Consider me
sticks.
A complete layman. Well, honey sticks.
Honey sticks that looks like they've got a 5-stick per package, quite highly infused. Anything from a Mendo blend to a naked items that are good.
Aphrodisiacs.
Right?
For inflammation?
He got an aphrodisiac one. Good.
Wait, so, all right.
She said, good.
All right. Here's what I want to ask. All right. This, I guess if I had to ask a big, like a broad enough question that you could take anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Why is this any different than, you know, the snake oil guys who are like, I got this one thing that'll cure everything wrong with you? Because I had this deal when I was on another gentleman's show. We were talking about Rick Simpson oil. And this was about 4 or 5 years ago, before I'd ever seen any kind of research done on it.
Okay.
And I just heard these people going, well, it'll cure whatever ails you. And I thought it sounded like snake oil. And then a coach on my team had a benign growth on his spine that was causing facial paralysis. Started treating it with Rick Simpson honey oil. Gained full use of his face back.
Amazing.
And while I've seen it work, I still want to understand how can it be? How is there one plant that treated different ways could help be an aphrodisiac or help inflammation?
Right.
How is that possible?
Well, there's other herbs added into that.
Well, I understand too, but that's, I guess, the generalized question.
But we always talk about Foria. We love talking
about Foria. We do talk about Foria a lot. That's the
familiar with Foria?
It's a sex lube made with medicine in it.
All it is MCT.
It's coconut oil and THC.
MCT oil and CO2 oil.
Okay. For those of us who don't know what MCT oil is.
Medium chain triglycerides, but it's really just like really liquidy coconut oil.
It's
been fractionated so that it doesn't re-solidify.
Did you get an aphrodisiac?
Oh, you're talking about I got the aphrodisiac.
Okay, right. Bro. You take that with your sweetie. Okay. There's ashwagandha. There's herbs for male and female.
Oh, my goodness.
There's horny goat weed in there.
Horny goat.
But let me tell you something, bro. You take that. Just do a half a stick.
Right? So share one.
And give it to your sweetie. Don't go out to the bar or
anything. You don't want to leave the house.
No, just hang at home because that's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's an aphrodisiac to share. So what it does, I don't do it when I go out because it gives you this touchy-feely. And you want everyone you see, you just want to touch and feel. So it's best just to stay home with your sweetie.
Okay, so this one is going to get set aside so that doesn't accidentally get consumed.
So funny story is I tried one of those the other night with my – no, well, my friend.
I just want to make sure the naked one. I'm not going to strip down in front of whoever.
No.
Okay, good. I'm making sure that naked one.
No, I went to a birthday party the other night with my friend, and she was not in a good mood. So she's like, let's take that one. We split one.
What do you think?
It was cool. I could see how it would have been good if I had someone to rub. But she's like not the nicest person, she is the nicest person, but she seems to not. You know, but when she takes medicine, she smiles a lot more. But then when you add those other funky herbs, she's just
a bundle of joy.
We were feeling it. We were feeling funny.
So half a stick, bro.
Half a stick.
Yeah. Well, you could do a whole one.
Yeah, no, I tend to I don't know why is I wonder if is in the medical world whenever I've had to go in for surgery because I'm not redheaded but I got the red beard, so I have the trait of the redhead that they usually have to like go extra, you know, anesthesia on me. I woke up in two different surgeries.
Interesting.
My favorite one, I woke up during a dental surgery when they were pulling out my wisdom teeth. And I remember I opened my eyes and the doctor was just talking to the other doctor in the room. He's just like, yeah, you know, I was going out. The wife was calling and he looked down at my face and saw my eyes were open. He went, oh, hey there. And then pushed the plunger, was like, goodbye. And I was right back out. But he definitely looked at it and was like, oh, well, hello there. You shouldn't. You're back out. And it put me right back under. So that's a redhead thing. So I wonder if that's the same thing with marijuana, if I eat that up a little bit extra as well.
What, redheads have a higher tolerance to...
To everything? Is to, that just a...
No, that's a real true. Thing. No, that's a real thing. That higher tolerance to...
I know to pain, anesthesia, but what about to something like this?
I mean, I don't know. I feel I
road tester.
I was like, that's yet to be determined.
As we're gonna find out. So then, all right. So getting back to my original question, so the plant is the plant, and the plant does what the plant does. But yes. So what you're saying is, with alchemy, we can add things to it to.
It's beyond that, because you're working with the planets. You're working with energy. So things have to be created at specific times. You were either working with a physical level, a spiritual level, or a soul level. So the process and when these medicines are created at specific times, and the extractions takes 2 months to extract this alchemically. You have to clean the alcohol. Takes 7 weeks to do that. And you're not heating the medicine. You keep it under 110 degrees.
So it doesn't kill the life energy.
You're working with the life force of the herbs and the plants. You're working with their intelligence. So
like raw food, essentially, is on the same.
So you're in alchemy. The word spagyric means to separate and recombine. So you have to burn things on specific times. You have to wait till the planets are in the right place because you're using energy. You're using all the energy. It's like biodynamic Rudolf Steiner. And that's all brought into it, too, because the herbs are growing in that process.
So when you say something takes a year to make, yes, as you described before, it's not the labor involved takes a year. It's that the schedule to have it occur on the correct days of the year for the energy, that is what makes it take a year for it to be able to be done.
Not necessarily.
And they're purifying it as you go.
Yeah. What's happening, you got to clean the alcohol. And you're using the biodynamic alcohol. So you have to distill it for 7 weeks to pick up each planet. So you go Monday to Monday, picks up Moon. Tuesday to Tuesday, picks up Mars. But through this process, impurities are coming out of the alcohol.
That's got to be some clean moonshine.
It doesn't get any better.
I'm sorry to put it as cleanly as that, but that sounds like some. So my girlfriend's family is from Arkansas, so I've sampled some of the white lightning.
Didn't you just sample some of this and say, what did you say?
I said it tasted like, I remember there was one that you gave me that I went, it had the nose of like a really good old Scotch whiskey.
Yeah.
Like I taste the oak, I tasted, it tasted like whiskey to me.
Yes, because it's aging. So through the process of extracting, you got to clean the alcohol first, get all the impurities out. You're working with something that's about 199 proof. Have to wait. If you're making just a straight marijuana formula, you start it on a Monday, but it has to be started after a new moon, right?
Okay.
So if the new moon's on a Friday, you can start it that next Monday. If the new moon's on a Tuesday, you have to wait till the next Monday.
Oh, geez, that is...
That's why it takes so long to create it. Then you extract at a very low temperature. You're extracting at about 98.6 degrees to no more than 110, but it's under a vacuum, right?
Okay.
So you have the medicine in a sock, and the alcohol goes up.
So you're using the alcohol to dissolve.
To extract.
Or to extract, basically, and as a vessel with which to carry.
But he cleaned and energized the alcohol first.
Yeah. So then you're taking the life force of the medicine. You've got a clean alcohol that carries a life force. And then you're extracting the medicine, what you're trying to create.
Now, when you say, so Are you passing the alcohol through the plant, or are you just letting it sit and absorb vacuum?
It's being distilled 724.
Oh, okay.
It's going up, coming down. It's in a vacuum.
So constantly moving through it.
24 hours a day. So it takes about five weeks to get the medicine out of the plant matter. Then you take the plant matter and you put it in a little fire pit and you burn it. And then you have them ashes. You take them ashes, you put them in a kiln, and then you fire that up to so many degrees. And then that burns off the carbon. And then you have this fine white powder. That's the cell salts that that plant has extracted through its life. Then you wait for, if you're working with marijuana strictly, you wait for that next new moon on a Monday. You take the medicine you extracted that's still in the alcohol. Then you take the powder and you put those together, and you it's called circulation. And you do 724, same temperature, and you do that for 1 month, one moon cycle. And then you've completed and created your spagyric, which is approximately 6 months, which is the spiritualized. And then if you want to create the soul level, it takes another 6 months, and it takes all the triclones off, which was the one
was
that
the
you
black
tasted,
cap?
Yeah, that,
and
yeah.
You come up with the terpenes. And that is the soul of the plant. So
it's so different. You feel very alive.
Yeah, I will admit from sampling it, it's definitely it's a much it's energy. It's kind of it's much more
clear.
Yeah, it's definitely. I wouldn't say that I feel high. Like that would definitely not be how I would ever describe this to anybody. Well, but I definitely feel medicated.
You want to get high?
Don't say that to me. Yes. Yes, I do. Of course I do. I say no to no man.
Okay. Now they come in different strengths. So through the years we found, working at these different places with my bro over here.
So the one that I had in storage, you were going to sit right? That the aging process makes it stronger.
So what happened?
Nothing is more enticing than the fact that there are four X, not even the three X's that normally scare away any man. Man's like, we need one more X.
Just put a fourth one on top, no problem.
What X is on that?
4X.
That's only at 4?
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
Oh, there's 5X. Oh, my God. I love
this
it.
This is a 6.
I came to the right
there's
place.
There's 6. I want it.
Tried that one.
I just met you today, Medicine Man, and I want to kiss you.
Right.
Bring it over the seas. Like, oh, no. Did I give you the 4X? What kind of asshole am I? Here's the 6X.
Here's the 6.
What kind of asshole am I? How dare. Here we go.
You don't have to work tomorrow, right?
No, I do. I do, but, you know.
You do respect the medicine.
Oh, I absolutely
smell
always
it,
do.
Right?
Okay. That
ooh.
One.
Ooh.
Now, that's the Buddha.
That's the most interesting smelling one I've had so far.
So interesting.
But remember the first?
The recipe is so very specific, as you've heard, and so detailed.
I mean, this is the first one that...
The Buddha.
I wish I could put my finger on what I was smelling, but this is definitely... There's almost something, not sweet, but... yeah, almost kind of a little bit like a... Not vinegary, but kind of just of this... Mm, maybe if I taste it,
What do you think?
That is delicious, first of all. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I definitely like the taste. That's the interesting thing about these is that the tastes are all so different. But
that was the same plant that you tried that was a 2X, and then you tried the soul level,
yeah,
which just had the that's the same plant.
This is all the exact same plant.
Them three,
okay.
But these, this, so
what's the difference in the soul level, like as far as the experience?
The soul level
that's been aged longer.
Well, that has nothing to do with it.
No.
The salt level has all the triclones taken out. There's no triclones in it at all. You're working with the terpenes of the plant. That's basically the soul level.
Yeah.
When you take all the oils out of it, you got a higher vibration. You tune in into this, like we have a physical body, we have a spirit,
making
we have that a soul.
That legendary split.
Gots to.
So anyways, you're working on one of those three levels, and the different medicines are for different purposes, right?
Yeah.
You can function so clear on the spirit, the soul level, but that 6X you just did, bro?
Yeah.
Yes.
You could do 10, you could do 30 drops of the soul level. Do 30 drops of that, bro.
Don't dare me, man. Don't.
you know what? That's yours.
Oh, that's God, no, I couldn't. That's too kind. When I hear all the work that goes into this, this is, I mean, these are unbelievable, the amount of work. Oh, gee, the amount of work that seems to go into these is, I'm really in awe because I don't have the... I mean, I don't know that I have the dedication to stick with something to make sure to do it on a schedule to the amount that this... I mean, it's amazing. This is... I've been blown away by how much I enjoy these. And to stuff that I will admit, as a skeptic, I would think, does it really matter if you do it on a Monday? How much does it matter? It's.
Right.
I mean, listen, for the product that I am tasting... No, if the reason is why you did it on a Monday, then, I mean, whatever you say the reason is, absolutely sampling the product, I go, that's definitely unlike anything I've ever had before in my life.
Correct.
What makes the farm biodynamic?
That was a woof of, like, I wish we had more than 5 minutes left in the show.
I think we're going to have to go over.
We're going to do a bonus today. We're definitely doing a bonus.
That's great.
Okay. It's... To make farm biodynamic, a lot of vineyards are biodynamic. And these vineyards that are biodynamic, the wine is worth much more money. It's what you're doing when you're creating a biodynamic farm, you're putting everything in balance where the weeds don't want to grow in with whatever you're growing. So you're crushing crystals, you're grinding them, turning them into powder, putting them in these horns, burying them for 6 months,
wow.
Digging them up at specific times. You're making compost. You're taking oak. You're taking chamomile. There's too much.
That is stuff that I don't even understand. I mean, it's all stuff that I don't understand.
Whole world. I just started getting, well, I've been doing it for years, but there's like 5 different degrees of biodynamic, or how many ever you want. But I was like about 5 for years, because it's specific days that you harvest a plant. You harvest a plant on a flower day. If you're looking for the root, like echinacea, you harvest that on a root day. Hmm. And if you really want to get into it, like I have been, then each plant, you'd harvest that flower, which is, it's hard to do. If a marijuana flower, you'd harvest it on a flower day on a Monday. That's the most perfect day. Then that dried flower lasts longer. The harvest, all the resins are up in the plant. If you're harvesting for leaf, you harvest on a leaf day. That's when all the energy is into the leaf. If you're harvesting for root crop, you harvest on a root day because all the energy's down into the root. Because everything's ruled by the moon cycles of push and the pull. And stuff.
Well, I mean,
and that's how, I mean, there weren't cat, like before there was. They use the stars to know when to do things.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to stick around for a little bit of bonus because I'm enjoying this education so darn much. But for those of you listening on crab diving for our hourly weekly episode, this is where we're going to have to wrap up, unfortunately. But we are going to record some bonuses. Hopefully, we'll post it with the next episode. Uh-huh. We'll post our continuation of this conversation. Thank you guys so much for listening.
I totally put down this the clear honey sticks you gave me.
We're going down on honey here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys. Thank you, crab diving. Thank you, everybody. We will see you guys next week.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.